Just briefly here. Oh, looks like I heard some sound there. We're going to call the meeting to order for the Conference Committee on House File 2639 and Senate File 2470. Maybe we can, it looks like we do have a quorum. Maybe we can start off by having staff review the two bills and go through them and see what the similarities and differences are. And I'll refer to our staff here to maybe walk through that, Mr. Eliff. Or all right, Mr. Fuller, would you like to help us out on that?
I'm not totally prepared, but I think I can be pretty helpful because I'm substituting for somebody. And my understanding was it was going to be an agreement offered. But the basic, there was a couple of basic differences. One was that the Senate approached it through the criminal statutes, the wiretap statutes, 626, and the House went through the telecom statute. And there were some different definitions, and we've come to agreement on that, as you directed, which is the House approach in the Chapter 237, what seemed more reasonable. We picked up the definitions. The House had definitions that just referred to a section of the statute, and we put the actual language in the agreement so that you don't have to worry about the referred to statute being changed. So it's right there so people can see it, because it was thought that then people would be aware of what the law was, since the whole thing is to get things done fast and make it simple. The House had a concern that the device be connected to the person. There is some concern about requests coming in that aren't legitimate, and the House had that in a couple of instances. One, and the agreement picked up language that was agreeable to House staff, which identified the device as being the person's device. And then I think the final sort of difference was a floor amendment in the House, which was had to do with if there was an erroneous request or was discovered to be erroneous or not legitimate. And there's a couple of sentences in the House bill that addresses what's to happen if a law enforcement agency discovers that the person wasn't in fact in the risk of serious harm or death. And that's not part of the agreement so far. That's something that has to be hashed out. So in general, and I apologize because I wasn't prepared to do this, in general, the bills are absolutely similar. We have a federal law that makes these disclosures discretionary, and we had a situation where that didn't work out, and so this bill says that when you have a person in risk of serious injury or bodily harm, and the police or law enforcement agency is requesting the location, the telephone company has to provide the location. There was one other difference. I remember the Senate language said that the telephone companies could, or the wireless providers could, develop protocols, and the House had said that they shall develop protocols. And the agreement goes with the House language. That makes sense. That if they're going to, you know, this is a serious situation, they should have a protocol in place to deal with it. So those are maybe Bob or Jeff Diebel actually worked on it. He was sitting over there. Is more familiar. He worked with Kathy Pontius of our staff, who's tied up
right
with another conference committee. So jump in if I didn't explain any of the differences.
That sounds, appears, looking at the staff, that was a satisfactory explanation.
Thank you,
Mr. Fuller. Senator, did you have
Mr. Chair, so basically it was a lot of technical language and picking the best technical language to fit the bill, and what I would like to do then is offer the A3 amendment to the House File 2630.
Okay, so Senator moves the amendment for the.
And Mr. Chair, I would like Mr. Fuller to walk through this and explain to us what we're doing.
Mr. Chair, Senator Solon, members. This would be a delete everything, so this would be the conference committee report as proposed. You'll see the definitions there, and on line 1.3, that's section 1, What we did was we picked the house language, and so there's definition of a call location information. I would suggest there's a technical amendment. We'd strike the word definition there. I think that's a typo. So on line 1.5, strike the semicolon and definitions. Subdivision 3, there is the definition of a law enforcement agency. That was a point of discussion. I think the intent was to limit the sort of folks who could do this, and it was worked out. I think at one point in time, language was broader, at least on the Senate side. A county attorney could do it, maybe other folks, so that's a narrowing. And again, you have to remember, this is a state mandatory law that above that is a federal discretionary law that allows them. So there is in place a federal set of rules to do this as well. So I think that's good to keep in mind. Subdivision 4 picked up the definition that the House had of a wireless provider by reference and put the actual language in there. And then the guts of the bill is Section 2. So you can see you have to have a written request from a law enforcement agency, which is defined, to a wireless provider, which is defined, that states that a person is in risk of death or serious physical harm, you see on 1.25, and that triggers the obligation on the part of the wireless provider to disclose the location. Subdivision 2 on 1.29 is the language I talked about. You'll see that on line 1.29, the word shall is in there. That was the House intent, and the Senate acceded to that in this proposal. Subdivision 3, cause of action limitation. You'll notice on line 1.34, the notion of good faith was inserted. So it's not a blanket. You know, if they do something that's a lack of good faith, the wireless providers may have some liability. There was some language dropped that allowed recovery of costs by a provider, so that's not in there in certain situations. And then subdivision 4, it's the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension who's going to keep a catalog of contact points for these providers so that the law enforcement agencies know who to go to with these requests and to keep them current. And then Section 3 is just, to recall, it was this Kelsey Smith who had the tragedy that triggered this bill, and the bill is named after her.
Senator?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would incorporate then the deletion on line 1.5 of the semicolon and definitions in the A3 amendment.
Very good. Just incorporate that. And Senator incorporates the change that she just articulated into the amendment. Any discussion on that? Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is incorporated. Any further discussion on the amendment that's before us? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Do I need to offer this amendment, the A1 to this amendment, or do we want to adopt this first?
No.
Okay. Then, if Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer the A1 amendment. It's drafted to the delete all.
Very good. Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Ela.
Moves the amendment to the delete all. Would you like to speak to that?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. And this is the amendment, or it's different than Representative Holberg brought up on the House floor, but this is at the behest of Representative Holberg, who has, and it could cover the way it's written, it could be covering and is written to cover requests that aren't legitimate or erroneous for some reason. Her two concerns weren't that. They were the privacy, which is Section B on 1.11, the section that all the rescinded data must be treated as private data on individuals. And that's important to her. Her major point with this is she's wondering, and her example was a woman that didn't want to be found. So if a husband or a boyfriend, for example, called law enforcement or called the wireless company and said, I can't find my wife or my girlfriend, you need to tell me where she is, and the police did locate this individual and found out that for whatever reason it was a woman that didn't, or it could be a man for that matter, but a woman that didn't want to be found, the police could then use their judgment under this section and deny the request for the wireless company to tell the spouse or whoever it would be where that person was. And with that, I'll stand for questions.
Very good. Senator Solon?
Mr. Chair, Representative Poppe, it seems to me this is already included in the bill. It seems like a restatement of what's already in the bill. I'm wondering why the necessity for this additional language.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Solon, or Brentner Solon, I think Representative Holberg is always a zealous advocate of privacy rights for all of our personal data and medical data and things like that. That's why she's so interested in the Section B. And in the first one, I think she's just looking for an additional safeguard. And the way she kept – I talked to her again this morning and talked to her last night on the floor – of the House, and I think what she's looking for is just to protect the, you know, I don't think she has anything in particular in mind, but just to protect the woman that doesn't want to be found.
Senator Solon?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm wondering if I could ask our Senate counsel whether this actually enhances the bill or confounds the bill or...
Well, Madam Chair, Mr. Fuller. Members, thank you. This did go through. Well, it raises a concern that if the intent of this bill is to quickly respond to situations where somebody's in danger, when you layer on additional things, you don't want to conjure up a situation where there's mixed messages to the telephone company or the wireless provider, and so they're, you know, even though it's theoretical, you want to be very careful about putting process in place that may interfere with that quickness. The other issue would be, and you know, these are arguments. I'm not saying this is good or bad. These are things to consider. Is that this is not the whole galaxy of situations where perhaps there's no longer a need for an identification. And so you've identified one, this amendment identifies one situation where it basically says, okay, we don't need that information, so don't give it. Well, it seems like we're legislating common sense there, and what Representative Poppe said, I think he's focusing on B. And I'm not the data privacy guy, so I don't know what the consequences are for identifying this as public data. I don't think it would, or as private data, I don't think that has anything to do with the intent of the bill. I don't think it would interfere with the intent of the bill. More as the concern is if we have a law that says let's really make these phone companies respond, and then we start putting in something about what if there's a mistake, you know, and then we've identified a little area of mistake. You know, just my experience in drafting and administering laws, I guess I would suggest that the Conference Committee ask the wireless providers whether they think this would interfere with their ability to respond as quickly as otherwise. If not, I don't see any serious problem with this proposal. I mean, but I'm not the data privacy expert. I know that when you classify data, you're usually supposed to put a cross-reference in the Data Practices Act that we're classifying it. That's just a custom. There's a whole catalog of classifications of private data. This doesn't do that, but I don't think that's the end of the world. I mean, it means it won't be in that laundry list of data that we've classified other than normally. So,
Senator Solon?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'd like to invite Mr. Bass to come forward.
Mr. Bass, welcome. Would you like to provide some insight?
Thank you, Chairman Johnson.
And your name for the record, please?
For the record, Bob Bass from AT&T. The language that is proposed today, which was in the House version, doesn't change the way we would operate because, you know, we don't want to have to do the location unless we have to anyway. And once we know we don't have to, we would stop. We're still going to treat the data as private data, but it wouldn't, to Mr. Fuller's question, wouldn't change the way that we do things now. Process-wise, there's still things that would still be in the same manner that we operate today.
Is it fair to say, Mr. Bass, you don't have a problem with the amendment?
No, Chairman Johnson, we wouldn't have a problem with it. It's, I It might be a little redundant, but it's not something we would have a problem with.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bass. Representative Hoppe, did you have something?
Mr. Chair, and I'll be brief, and members. You know, the whole reason we're doing this bill is to allow somebody to be found, to find the location of their cell. And if there is a call that comes in, there's a request for it, and it goes to AT&T or one of the other providers, they provide the information to law enforcement. Law enforcement goes there, and they find that it's, you know, it's not an unfortunate situation, but it is, in fact, you know, the stereotypical woman that's trying not to be found. That, if they're free to not have to act on that and to decide that that information doesn't have to be transmitted, that might be preventing, you know, another unfortunate incident.
Senator Solon?
Representative Hoppe, I'm not sure that I understood you correctly, though. Are you saying you feel that the language in the bill already takes care of that, or that you think that this additional language is necessary? I'm hearing it's a redundancy by the industry, and that wouldn't change their operation at all.
Representative Hoppe?
Mr. Chair and Senator Solon, when the chair asked, and it might be a little bit of a redundancy, but it wouldn't change the way that they do anything. And if this is comfort language that, you know, makes Representative Holberg feel better, and it's not going to change anything for the industry. To me, that when I look at this and I read on line 1.5 where it says, you know, if law enforcement determines that it's not an emergency situation, then they don't have to act on it. I mean, that way we still have the law. We're still able to help people in the Kelsey Smith situation, but we don't go any farther than that, and we don't transmit the information for, you know, somebody that doesn't want to be found, and it allows law enforcement the discretion there.
Senator Solon?
Not to prolong this discussion too long, but you know, Representative Hoppe says that if the industry or law enforcement decides that it isn't an emergency, is just the reverse of them saying they have to decide that it's an emergency already. I'm for less language, generally. That's my comment. Nothing is added that might confound something. And I think when we add redundancy, sometimes it does confound things. And that's why I would advocate against this language at this time.
Well, Madam, Mr. Chair, Senator Solon, members, if you look at page 1 or line 8, it says that a wireless telecommunications service provider receiving notice under this paragraph must not provide the call location information. I think what's missing is that they received this information prior to releasing it. So obviously, if they've already released the information, they could not comply with this, I think, which sort of highlights the difficulty with trying to speculate as to, you know, what would do best in a situation where the industry says they would do it anyway. So we're, you know, then we create a situation where they're in violation of this law and it's never intended because they got it the next day and they've already released the information. And that's the sort of issue you get when you put in language that might not be necessary. You might shoot yourself in the foot.
Mr. Ela?
Mr. Chair, I think in response to what Mr. Fuller just said, that's the explicit purpose of paragraph B, in case essentially the messages have crossed and the call location information was sent out before the agency took note of the rescission, just states that data must be treated as private. So I think this amendment speaks to the contingency that Mr. Fuller just spoke to.
And Mr. Chair?
All right, very good. Representative Hoppe?
Well, maybe this would help things, and Mr. Fuller can comment on this, and Mr. Eliff. If we struck part of the amendment, if we started on line 1.8 and started with the word A and got rid of the whole sentence that ends on line 1.10, so we would strike the last sentence of that paragraph. A wireless telecommunications service provider receiving notice under this paragraph must not provide the call location information to the law enforcement agency. I think that gets rid of some language and gets rid of a little bit of redundancy. And then if we look at the next paragraph under B, line 1.12, and strike the words "that was subsequently rescinded," that might help get to the point Mr. Fuller's looking at. And I,
you want to comment?
Mr. Fuller, you want to comment?
Mr. Chair, members, I didn't quite follow that, but the concern, I'm not a private, and Jeff Diebel's here, I'm not a privacy expert, and that's not the concern. The only concern I had was that you now have language that could make a wireless provider in violation of the law without knowledge that, you know, in a situation where they acted in good faith and pursuant to law because they get some subsequent information. So I think all that's necessary would be to, if you wanted to proceed with this amendment, would be to amend the sentence on 1.8 that receiving notice prior to receiving the rescission. Not, and then everything else stays in place. I think the rest does what you want to do then. So the only concern that I expressed was that you're creating a situation where they're in violation of the law, even though they have no ability to comply with the law because they received the rescission subsequent to releasing the information. And that's a problem. That's a problem when you put in things that perhaps aren't necessary. You may get unintended results.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hoppe?
If that works, that makes sense to me. I'd be happy with that. And I guess before we vote on this, you know, as the bill is written, I think it's a good idea, and I'm supportive of it. I just don't want to be in a situation where we are compelling law enforcement and a wireless company to provide information on somebody that doesn't wish to be found, that's in no immediate physical danger. There's no emergency. They just don't want to be found. And I don't think that we want to compel either law enforcement or one of our carriers to provide that information to somebody that does want to find them when it's not their wish to be found.
Thank you. And Sheriff's Association, want to come to the table and make a comment? If you identify yourself for the record, please.
Mr. Chairman, members, my name is Jim Franklin. I'm the Executive Director for the Minnesota Sheriff's Association and also Police Chiefs Association, and I have MPPOA behind me today. There are two issues that we would just raise here as things to consider and we're concerned about. The first issue has to do when the request comes in and information is transmitted from the wireless carrier to the law enforcement agency and then rescinded in that point in time where the two investigations and or the response cross each other. And I think that's one issue, and you have, you've kind of talked about that, and that's sort of a common sense issue, and by striking that one sentence, I think that takes care of it. There is a second issue that I would bring to your attention dealing with the Data Practices Act, and that's covered in Section B on line 1.11 through 14. That I believe Representative Holberg is trying to address. And that is simply this. Once we, law enforcement, have that information as to the caller identity, name, location, phone number, all of that data that has come to us from the wireless carrier, we put that into our law enforcement investigative reports. As you know, that's law enforcement investigative data. But once the data and the case is completed, it would become public data. And in the cases of domestic abuse, child, or others that do not want to be found, it would be possible for someone, anyone really, to come in, obtain that police report, obtain that data, obtain that telephone number, and that would become public data because it's in that report. I believe what Representative Holberg is trying to get at in Section B, it says if law enforcement gets that data, then that becomes private data, which would not become releasable to anyone. And I think that is her concern, to try to protect the identity of that case or those cases where a person does not want to be found. So we really have two issues here. One is when data is transmitted back and forth and crosses between the law enforcement agency and the wireless agency. The second is once law enforcement has the data, what and how do we classify it in our police reports as to what becomes releasable in the future?
Senator Sharon, I know you had a question.
Step out, I'll be right back in.
Senator Vandeveer?
I just have a question, Mr. Chair, if I could. Now, once, if this goes on, and that the way this is written, and it is then private data, just so from my understanding, then the only way you could get that information, let's say you knew that it was in there, and you were an investigator, once data is considered private data, can an investigator get it again?
Mr. Chair and Senator, the only way the law enforcement agency would be able to get that would be pursuant to another lawful investigation that would be conducted. So there would have to be another reason or another investigative file that would be open to get that information out of a previous file that may have some relevancy.
So, Madam Chair, to the witness, as a lead, you could still go get it. If you knew it, you could still go get it. You just have, if it's part of another investigation.
It would have to be part of another investigative file to go get that file.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Elif, did you have a comment?
Well, Mr. Chair, could Mr. Elif or Mr. Fuller incorporate the law enforcement perspective, and if we could change that, and I don't know if we can just add the words not releasable, if that would fix the issue and take care of Representative Holberg's concern and make it less problematic from a law enforcement perspective.
I guess the question is, who's working on the amendment here?
Well, we have two issues. Kathy Pineas is our data expert, and we have to defer to her and bring her up to speed as to what the concern is. The first issue is the one about that, and Mr. Elif has drafted language about the concern if they get the notice after they release the data that they're not in violation of law, which is, he can read that. And then Kathy, if the sheriff maybe could come back up and explain what he did, because Kathy Pineas is our data expert. And what we're talking about, Kathy, is the paragraph B there. Mm-hmm. And I'm not comfortable dealing with that issue.
Senator Solon?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, this is a quandary because we get stuck in the middle where what we're trying to do is to allow quick access to the location for somebody who's in danger of life-threatening experiences. At the same time, there may be somebody that doesn't want to be located. So who do we protect first? This legislation came up because there were instances where people were harmed because we couldn't locate them fast. That situation already exists. This doesn't address that. This wasn't meant to address that, of people who don't want to be located. And I think that that's something we might need to work on at some time. But I don't know that this legislation isn't making it more accessible for those people to be located. That already can occur under current law. I just don't know that we can fix both things at the same time.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Hoppe.
To that point, and Senator, I'm not an attorney, but I think the reason we're doing this is because it's not doable currently under current law. And if we pass this bill without the amendment, then that becomes possible for law enforcement to then, you know, get a request, go to the company, locate the person, and solve that issue. If we put the A1 amendment on, we're still going to be able to do that. But when the wireless company gets the information, they get it to law enforcement, and law enforcement locates the cell phone or the person, then they can make that determination under the A1 amendment whether that person is, you know, in an emergency or a dire situation, or somebody who's just not wanting to be found.
Mr. Chair?
Senator.
I don't see that this changes that situation. That's what the bill is about. That's what the bill says is permissible. I don't know that this makes any difference.
Well, Mr. Chair?
Representative Hoppe?
But the bill doesn't say that it gives law enforcement that discretion to... I mean, that's what the amendment's going to do. In the bill, there's nothing that addresses that situation. And the amendment is going to protect somebody that doesn't want to be found. I mean, if we look at the bill itself, the bill says, when we're looking, I think maybe line point 1.23, written request, and upon written receipt of a written request from a law enforcement agency, that's when the wireless company has to provide the information to law enforcement. Then they're going to send somebody out to that location, but it doesn't handle if that location happens to be a hotel room and there's somebody in there with their cell phone who doesn't want their spouse or boyfriend or whatever it is to find them. That's not addressed under the bill, at least as I'm reading it.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Sloan.
You have to read the rest of the sentence, though. It says is that this information is needed in an emergency situation that involves the risk of death or serious physical harm.
Mm-hmm.
So that determination already has to be made. I'm wondering if the Senate Council has, again, if we could hear from Senate Council again.
Mr. Fuller.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hoppe, there is a concern that hasn't been raised, which is we have a federal law that says that they can do it voluntarily under a set of rules. And I think one of the things that we should be cognizant of is that, so we have this federal system that allows them to do it. And in fact, they could have done it in the Kelsey Smith and would have under their own protocols, but apparently something happened where they didn't follow their own protocols. So we have this federal regime that has its own set of rules. I think we need to be cautious to set up a state regime that could interfere. So we would set up some state laws that are different. And this is a little different. And the more we put different things in there, the more we make it not seamless with the federal law. And so there's a little concern that we certainly don't want to have Minnesota be the one where you have to be concerned about some state requirements that are different than what the federal law has. And we are doing it a little bit, and the more we do it, the more we might be jeopardizing the ability to operate under the federal law, though maybe we're preempted, I don't know. So, I mean, we do have this federal regime which would allow all this to happen.
Well, Mr. Fuller, with the language that you and Bob have agreed upon, would that resolve some of this? And could we hear what that language is maybe at this point?
Certainly, Mr. Chair. This is based on Representative Hoppe's suggestion with regard to the amendment, essentially deleting the first eight lines of paragraph A and picking up the amended sentence would read, a wireless telecommunications service provider receiving notice from a law enforcement agency prior to providing the call location information, that the request for call location information is rescinded, must not provide the call location information to the law enforcement agency. Let me read that again. A wireless telecommunications service provider receiving notice from the law enforcement agency prior to providing the call location information, that the request for call location information is rescinded, must not provide the call location information to the law enforcement agency.
So, Mr. Chair?
Senator Sloan?
Mr. Eloff, you're saying delete lines 1.4 through?
Delete the first sentence.
1.8?
Yes. That was Representative Hoppe's suggestion.
And just take, I thought it was deleting the last sentence, not the first sentence.
And that's, I had originally suggested deleting the last sentence that starts on 1.8 with the letter A.
Then I misunderstood Representative Hoppe. I'm sorry.
Well, let me give this one more try, and maybe I'm not doing a good job of what I'm understanding Representative Holberg's concern to be. If we look at the bill that we've amended, the delete all amendment, and we read the section that starts on 1.23, the whole crux of the bill is that we are directing the service providers upon written receipt from a law enforcement agency that they will furnish the location of the call or the location of the telecommunications device because law enforcement is telling them that there is the risk of death or serious physical harm to the person possessing that device. So that's they do that. The wireless provider provides that information. Law enforcement gets it. They send someone to wherever that location is. And it's my understanding or my interpretation of the amendment. So the amendment would only follow after that had already happened. So once the whoever the carrier is provides that information to law enforcement, they send somebody to the scene. they find either a person that is in serious physical danger or risk of danger, or somebody that just doesn't want to be found. And the amendment, and maybe I haven't explained it well, or maybe I didn't get it written out well, but the amendment would cover everything after the person was already found by law enforcement. So if the person was found and they're, you know, God forbid, in a car accident, line or ditch, then law enforcement gets there, they save the day, they bring the ambulance, you know, whatever it would be. If it's an unfortunate situation like Kelsey Smith, at least law enforcement has found her. If it is a situation where it's a woman that's not trying to be found, then at that point the telecommunications company has already provided the call location, law enforcement is there, they make the determination that there is no immediate physical danger or risk, and then they go back to the telecommunications company and say, you know, and maybe this isn't written exactly right to address that, but then there is no immediate danger of risk. It's just someone that doesn't want to be found, and then law enforcement or the telecommunications company does not then provide that information to the person originally making the request.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Solon.
How do they rescind that information?
You know,
I mean, they've located the person. They wouldn't have to bring that. I mean, why would they bring that, give that information to the person who made the request in the first place? I don't understand that. And I don't know if the industry can enlighten us at all. But
if they could, I'd be most appreciative, Mr. Chair.
Actually, Mr. Chair,
Senator Solon,
the purpose of the bill, there is already federal legislation that says all of this can happen. It may happen. All we do is say it must happen in the case of injury or potential death. And that determination has to be made, and it allows the company to be held harmless or if they're following the law.
Ms. Franklin, did you want to speak for a second?
Mr. Chair and members, there are two issues here. One is getting the information and the request. We use the Kelsey Smith example of an abduction. Let me give you a more complicated example that occurs every day. Married couple, domestic last night, husband reports the wife missing. Under Brandon's law, we, the law enforcement agency, are required by state statute to do a number of things, which in that is built in the premise that this is some sort of valid report, some sort of an emergency situation, or something. Now, in that course, we know that she has a cell phone, and we contact the wireless company to say, can you ping it? Can you help us get a location on this? We have a valid missing person report filed. They give us the data, and we then find the female at an undisclosed location who is now a victim of domestic abuse. She may or may not wish to file a report. She may choose to be running and hiding for whatever reasons. We now have gotten that information from the wireless company. Brandon's law has worked. This law has worked. We've accomplished our mission. We now have an obligation to go back to the person who reported this and under Brandon's law say, the person is fine, the person is okay, they don't want to be found, and they don't want to talk to you. We are closing our case file. Under data practices, our investigative file up to that point is not accessible by the husband or any members of the public. Once we close that file, that data becomes public information. The data then becomes public information because we write it down. If the husband comes back in and says, I want a copy of that report, of which they can do under data practices, once we've made it public, they now know the location and all of the steps that the police use to get to that point. Under Section B, If there was a rescinding, we would find that she did not want to be found, that she was in hiding for another reason or chose simply not to be found, we would, under this bill, notify the wireless company and say, we're rescinding that, or by the way, the information you gave to us wasn't or didn't turn out to be an emergency. Thank you very much. The system worked. But we, law enforcement, conclude that we're closing that investigation. It's not an emergency. I think that's a courtesy thing back to the wireless company so they at least know what happened. I don't know if it's relevant to track, but the system, they would at least know it works. We, law enforcement, now can take that data and say that portion of that data is not public. That is private data, as I understand data practices. The husband or whoever would come in, that portion of the report would be stricken so that they would not have access to the data. And I believe that is what the Holberg Amendment is trying to address. I believe that is what the domestic abuse and others are have very concerns about, is the release of data that might be captured by police during this frantic period of time of trying to determine what we have, and then the conclusion when we find that we don't have what we thought we did have.
And Mr. Franklin, does Section B or Subdivision B do what you're talking about then, is that what you're saying?
I would yield to the data practices expert over here, but the way I read it, I believe that it does give us that protection that we need to classify that data as private data upon learning that it is not an emergency, and then we notify the telecommunications company that it was not an emergency. What started off we thought might be ends up not to be.
Senator?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Franklin, what prevents you from, in your discretion, withholding that information at this time or classifying it as not public if it is a domestic abuse situation?
In the data practices statutes, as I read them and understand them, once we close the investigative file, it becomes public data. And
so Mr. Franklin,
Senator,
Mr. Chair, Mr. Franklin, isn't that the case today? I mean, isn't that the situation today? If such an investigation occurred, and if we were using the federal law, and somebody were identified, I don't know that situations like this occur if they actually occur. But isn't it the situation today that you would be in the same circumstances?
Madam Chair, you are absolutely correct. Under current law today, it is discretionary on the part of the telecommunications to give us that information. Currently, we put it into our investigative files. We would write it down. At some point in time, you are correct, it would become public data at some point in time. Under this provision, that portion of this would not become public data.
Senator Sloan?
You know, this wasn't a part of policy that we discussed, and I don't know what are the implications of it. That's my only concern. I think that probably there's an issue. I'm not sure this bill can address that issue. We're not changing that part of existing law, and I'm not. And I think it deserves a full airing, and maybe a bill that we bring back next year to address a situation like this. In fact, I had a discussion with our Secretary of State about this, who also had some concerns. But I'm not sure that this is the place or the time for us to address this issue. At least with only five of us here to listen to any testimony and to vote on it.
Representative Hoppe?
Mr. Chair and Senator Solon and members and anybody that wants to comment, in a last attempt here, what if in the A1 amendment we got rid of the whole first paragraph from line 1.4 to line 1.10 and left the amendment only as the B part of that section, starting with line 1.11 to 1.13, the call location information, that whole sentence there. Because I think the problem that we're having, you know, one of the problems, I think we all understand where Representative Holberg wanted to go with this, and Senator Solon, I think you're right, this probably deserves more scrutiny in another hearing. But I think there's just problem with the word rescinded and how that gets treated. And if we just left the paragraph B, that might address some of those things that we're bringing up with this bill in a fashion that kind of protects everybody, most of all the person that might not want to be found.
Very good. Mr. Fuller?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hoppe, on the paragraph B, it seems like that describes a smaller class of people. I mean, putting aside whether how you resolve the issue, it talks about those folks where it was subsequently rescinded. And I think the issue is larger than that. It's the issue of anybody, because there could be all kinds of instances where there could be a stalker that has nothing to do with being subsequently rescinded, which, I mean, so I think the policy that you're advocating is bigger than the language that's here, because it would seem to me that anybody could be subject to that, and it wouldn't be identified to a stalker by the fact that it was rescinded. So, you know, in case you want to move forward with that, I would suggest that you consider not tying it into a rescission, and it would be a larger issue that any of this information would be private. Anyway.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hoppe.
I wholeheartedly agree, but I think just in terms of this bill, I think we're talking about, in the first place, a very small number of instances where this would be used, and probably a much smaller number of people where this would be rescinded. And we can have either the companies or law enforcement come up and testify. I don't remember from committee about how often that this is something that would be used, but I think the Section B would cover us in instances that were brought forward, that would be brought forward in the future, specifically under this bill, under the Kelsey Smith bill.
Very good. Ms. Pontius, did you want to?
I'm sorry. Madam Chair, members, there is a provision in the law enforcement data statute right now, which I think law enforcement could use as sort of a hook in these cases, because there's something that allows them to withhold access to what we call kind of response and incident data, which I think this would be, which is normally public, but they can withhold access if they determine that it would be reasonably likely to physically endanger someone. Now, that might not be enough, though, for law enforcement to rely on in these cases. But I think Mr. Fuller pointed out, you've sort of got two things going on. You've got the requests that are actually rescinded, or maybe they don't even get to the point. Maybe they've already gotten the information, what I think you might want to do is maybe use language that's sort of like what's in the law enforcement data statute right here, if that's the concern, to protect the individual in those, say, domestic abuse situations or something like that.
Senator Vandiver?
I was just thinking, why don't we pigtail on the process that he just described? And I think that's what you just said. Is that, could we ask staff? Because as I understand it, there's an emergency. We want to know where the phone is. We find the phone. We're done. Police take care of everything from there on. The cell phone company's out of it. The data's private. It's over. We're just intervening in this emergency to locate the phone. Period. And then we want out, and we want everybody else out. That's my understanding of your bill, is that. So if we can get there, and I thought that what he just described was that process. Is that what you're suggesting, that we, or is there a way to just attach this to that same process, so that once the phone's found, we go back to the same thing that Mr. Franklin just described in the other situation?
Senator Prentner-Sloan.
Mr. Chair and members, I have had this discussion a lot during this past year regarding this very issue, and have made a commitment to investigate this, to introduce a bill that would specifically address this issue. But I think it deserves much better scrutiny than we are able to provide, because I'd be very concerned about the implications of legislation that we would add on to this without that proper hearing and notifying people who would be affected.
Went through civil law.
At this point, Mr. Chair,
Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. At this point, maybe, I mean, we've had a good discussion. I think we certainly all agree on where we're trying to go with this, and maybe we do need to have this be done in longer committee form and have a bill introduced. And, you know, hopefully we're covered under either federal statutes or existing data privacy statutes or good old-fashioned law enforcement common sense. With that, Mr. Chair, I will withdraw the A1 amendment.
All right, thank you. Representative Hoppe, withdraw the A1 amendment. And that brings us to the A3 amendment. Senator Solon.
Mr. Chair, if there's no further discussion, then I'd renew my motion that the
Senator Solon renews her motion to adopt the A3 amendment that's before us as amended. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The conference.
Or the we have to adopt the conference.
Yeah, adopt the conference.
Oh, we got to adopt it.
Staff will prepare the conference committee report, and we'll get signatures, and we'll be ready to go. Thanks for coming. The meeting is adjourned.